actually listening to The Takeaway with Femi OK and Catherine Lamfer, sitting in for John and Adora. Catherine, the world's largest Muslim country is Indonesia. They had their parliamentary elections today. 170 million voters spread out across thousands of islands. That's a population that's almost as big as here in the US. Now, The Economist this week says that Indonesia has gone from being an authoritarian basket case to a regional role model. Not bad. To assess these claims and the relevance of Indonesia to the US, we talked earlier with Dr. William Liddle. He's an Indonesia expert at the Ohio State University's Political Science Department. And from the Indonesian capital, Jakarta, we spoke to the BBC's Indonesia correspondent, Lucy Williamson. So let's start with Lucy in Jakarta. Lucy, how have today's elections gone?
They seem to have gone fairly smoothly. There were a few worries before the polls started about violence in some areas, electoral fraud in other areas. But by and large, the poll itself has passed off fairly peacefully. There's a bit of violence in the far east of the country, in the Papua province, in the hours before the poll, with various groups attacking some targets there, including a police station. Several people shot dead during that attack, it should be said, which police say was linked to the election itself. But aside from that, the problems seem to have been relatively small.
How about the nature of this campaign? There's so many candidates. It seems like personality is a big deal.
Personality was a huge deal in this election, as were posters and banners and free T-shirts. The scale of it was quite eye-opening, and it was quite difficult, actually, down at the little polling stations that we went to today, to get a sense of that scale. You mentioned a bit of it in the introduction there, 170 million voters, four separate polls, two Houses of Parliament plus two local elections, hundreds of thousands of candidates all competing to be heard in this campaign. And because for the first time Indonesian voters are actually voting for individual MPs, not just for their parties, that's made the campaign all the more vicious.
So Lucy, you said hundreds of thousands of candidates. How does that work?
Well, up and down the country, because there are people contesting all these different, four different polls, people were campaigning in their local areas for four different polls. And so you have many, many more election rallies, posters, flags going up. And because people are voting on the individual this time, I think that put pressure on candidates to spend an awful lot more money, spend more time talking to voters as well.
One candidate's political slogan was, "Yes, we can." I wonder where he got that one from.
Well, he swears he didn't get it from Barack Obama. I went to talk to him and I said, "Now, come on, be honest. Did you swipe it from its previous owner?" And he said, "No, absolutely not. I thought of it before." He made the very good point, actually, that change is just as much an Indonesian thing as it is an American one. I mean, 10 or 11 years ago, this was the country that forced a dictator out of power because the appetite for change was so strong here. That seems to have changed somewhat in the course of democracy. But I have to say, watching the results start to trickle in, we haven't got official results yet, but we do have the quick count, which is a small sample of votes from across the country. Watching those come in, and the big old parties that were there in the Suharto era, Golkar, PDIP, they're not doing so well. It's the president's party that's really come out on top so far.
Speaking of the fact that it was only 11 years ago that democracy was taking root, we had these kind of elections. Has the excitement gone down now when an election comes up? Is it already becoming old hat for some people?
A little bit, but I think that's traditionally what happens when people get democracy. Again, I was talking to a few people today about this who've watched elections around the world, and we were talking about the fact that a lot of people seemed undecided in this election. In fact, in the previous two elections, that parliamentary elections that Indonesia has held since the Suharto era, the numbers of people who've abstained seems to have increased. We don't yet know how many people have abstained in this election, but if it has gone up a bit, that wouldn't be that surprising.
Dr. William Liddle from the University of Ohio, let me bring you into the conversation. Does Washington care about this election in Indonesia?
Oh, I think Washington cares very much, because Indonesia is, after all, the world's largest Muslim country. So that if elections can be held successfully in Indonesia, it really strengthens the argument that democracy can happen in any Muslim-majority country, including those in the Middle East.
Talk to me about terrorism in Indonesia. Is this a major issue for the United States, for the rest of the world, or a domestic issue for Indonesia?
Oh, well, it remains both a domestic issue and an international issue. Of course, it's a domestic issue for Indonesia because they have had several bombings perpetrated by local Islamic radicals and terrorists. But those people have mostly been captured. They're in jail. Some have been executed. And I think we know a lot about their terrorist, their international network. So there's not a great deal of the level of concern now is much lower than it was just a few years ago. But certainly it remains an issue both for Indonesians and for Americans.
President Obama spent part of his childhood in Indonesia. Do you feel that there will be a closer link between Indonesia, particularly because of its democratic way of doing politics, now that the president is in office?
Well, I think so. I was a little not quite so enthusiastic about that possibility when President Obama was first elected, because it seemed to me that Indonesia has never accounted for quite as much in American foreign policy as countries like Japan and China and so forth. And I don't see those interests really changing very much. But it's certainly true that President Obama has a feeling for Indonesia because he was there. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was there just recently, and I was there at the time in Jakarta, and I watched her performances there, and she was really quite extraordinarily successful in reaching out to the Indonesian people. And I think President Obama is likely to go there in November, and something similar is going to happen. So I think, yes, the bottom line answer is that the United States is going to be paying more attention to Indonesia because Barack Obama spent part of his childhood there. And it's probably a good thing because this is a time when Indonesia is successful, both economically and politically. I mean, it's one of the few countries in Asia also which is now maintaining a positive growth rate, more than 5% economic growth rate, in addition to the successful democracy.
That's Dr. William Little, and we'll leave it there on a positive note. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Little. He's an Indonesian expert at Ohio State University's Department of Political Science, and you also heard earlier from Lucy Williamson. She's from the BBC's department, and she works in Jakarta, Indonesia.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.